was said. And in Matthew 24:37-39, Jesus talks about in the time of Noah. You don't have to look that up if you don't want. But as is in the days of Noah. And if we read the days of Noah in Genesis, and we don't have to go to that, but why did God decide to end life as it was on this planet? I think you've all read that before, because every thought of man was evil, and violence was great in the earth. In my own little opinion, the violence in man was reflected in nature and still is. But the dinosaurs and the things that these terrible beasts that we have extinct and we know existed, I really believe that they were a result of this generation of people. Their own violence was reflected in nature. And with the flood, they were wiped out. Completely wiped out. God did take species that he wanted to promote and still live here on the planet. Violence. Do we see added violence in this world today? Do we see lawlessness today? I've never seen it so much in the United States right now. Complete disregard for any kind of authority. Complete lawlessness. What you can get away with, do it. If you can walk in a store and walk out with your case of beer for free, do it. If you can go 70, 80, 90, 100 miles an hour down the highway, if you can get away with it, well, do it. You have the right. Right? Complete disregard for law. In his book here, I want to turn to 126. Complete disregard for law and violence. The corruption of violence these days, much like the days of Noah. We have street gangs that do unbelievable cruel things that he wouldn't even describe in his books. Gangs like, what's the name of some of those? The Bloods, the the Trips, the one of the worst, the MS-13 gang. Anything goes within those gangs. Violence. And somehow we let that slide. In our society today, it seems the criminals are the good guys. Police, people that try to support law and order, they're the bad guys. And that's the way it is. By violence, this is one of my pet peeves, and he has it here. Violence in the media. Unbelievable. I don't watch television that much, but I've seen the movies that are flashed on the screen. Basically, I'm watching the Olympics and a few things like that. And the advertisements come on with these horrible monsters, great violence, explosions, created beings that is ugly as a man can ever imagine. And that's what we entertain ourselves with. The United States and people in general are hooked on violence. They entertain themselves with that. That's really fun. Even the gal here in our church some years ago, I remember saying, "Oh, she loved to read a good murder mystery." And in my thought, I said, "Oh, isn't murder fun? We love to read those books. Isn't that fun?" I don't quite agree with that. But here's some statistics that are amazing. And these statistics go back to about, they were taken in 2002. It says, by the time a child reaches age 18, The American child has seen 16,000, this is the average, 16,000 simulated murders, 200,000 acts of violence, and it's we're training our kids early. We wonder why there's so much violence. We're training it. It's out there. And this affects many minds, many young minds in this media category. And like in the days of Noah, God looks down and he's not going to be able to stand it very much longer. From there, I'd like to go to, I think I expressed this earlier. I love animals. I love nature. One of my favorite things is sitting, eating my breakfast at the window, looking out across my meadow and picking out the wildlife that I can. And of course, the most consistent ones are the birds. And so I have my binoculars there too, trying to identify what comes in there. Absolutely love it. And since I got this, I can actually hear them. I can go outside and hear those birds again. And regardless of what's going on in the world, they're still singing. They're still singing. So what can the animals teach us? Let me go, page 153. What can the animals teach us? Okay, this comes from Job 27:10. But now, ask the beasts, and they will teach you, and the birds of the air, and they will tell you. Or speak to the earth, and it will teach you, and the fish of the sea explain to you. Who among all these does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this, in whose hand is the life of every living thing, and the breath of all mankind? The animals can teach us. If we look at Hosea 4:3, it mentions that the beasts of the fields and the birds of the air, even the fish of the sea, will be taken from us. What a tragedy. Because of human sin, the animals pay the price. I don't know how many of you have ever been around animals a lot. Being on the farm as a boy, one thing I've noticed, the animals, what they have to put up with, the flies and the parasites and the insects. If we used to have horses out in our meadow, and I would spray them down, and sometimes their owners would put a mask on them to keep the flies away, the pestilence. They pay the price. And I have some statistics here. I don't know if I'll read them all. What will the animals teach us? And maybe I'll ask you after you, I've read this, what this teaches you. And this is just a four-year stretch from 2011 to 2015, statistics taken. These aren't opinions. These are facts, and these are just a few of them. January 2011, 5,000 blackbirds just fell dead from the sky in Beebe, Arkansas. 2011, approximately 2 million dead fish washed up in Chesapeake Bay. No explanation. 2 million. I don't know who counted all those, but sounds like a stinky job. Going on, approximately 500 birds fell out of the sky dead in Louisiana. Approximately 8,000 doves just fell dead in Italy, unexplained. An estimated 5 million fish washed up dead in the Mosa River in Kenya. Millions of fish washed up dead in the harbor of the Marina in California, King Harbor. Thousands of dead fish washed up on the shore of Lake Erie. Hundreds and thousands of pions, a bird, found dead in New Zealand. No explanation. Thousands of fish died in a lake that turned blood red in Texas. 20 tons of dead fish washed up in Norway. Thousands of dead found in the Kolnaidi River in India. Porpoises died at alarming rates in China. The red tide, what they called, killing 55 million abalone in China. 60 million oysters dead, leaving oyster farmers broke in Vietnam. Mass death of seagulls turning the beaches into a mass grave in Morocco. 300 blackbirds just dropped out of the sky in Tennessee. Thousands of tons of herring washed ashore in Iceland. Thousands of birds washed up dead on the Michigan shore. Millions of oysters wiped out in New South Wales, Australia. Immeasurable numbers of dead fish spanned 30 miles, about 40 kilometers, on the Fitzroy River in Australia. This goes on and on. Millions of prawns dead in China. Thousands of birds washed up dead in England. Vultures dropping out of the sky in Trinidad. Hundreds of thousands of dead eels in China. Hundreds of thousands of dead fish washed ashore in Pakistan. Crows and pigeons dropped from the sky dead in Naples. 10 million estimate scallops fell or washed up dead in the waters off Vancouver, Canada. Hundreds of thousands of dead fish washed ashore in Texas. Thousands of dead birds found along the coast of Peru. Thousands of dead fish washed ashore in Saudi Arabia. Birds dropped out of the sky by the hundreds in Russia. 30 million dead fish washed ashore in Bolivia. 100,000 dead birds washed up on the beach of the U.S. and Canada. And this goes on. There's an estimate that there's 2,500 additional mass die-offs within those years that I could go through. These were just some of the prominent ones. And one of the worst is the decimation of bees, our honeybees. How vital are they to our survival? They pollinate. They pollinate. And without those bees, agriculture, it's basically going to be shut down. Vital to our environment. Also, some great things that have happened. A lot of species towards a complete extinction. Extinction. So 250,000 antelope for no, and I can't pronounce it, Kazakhstan. For no reason at all, 250,000 antelope just dropped dead. And they don't even understand why. It wasn't like an epidemic where one passes one to the other and they die and die. They just together, almost spontaneous altogether. What does that tell us? I'll open that up for discussion. What does that tell us?
Like she said, the end is coming.
The end is coming. When animal life can't survive, what makes us think we can survive? Our lives are dependent on those honeybees and the well-being of our environment. And sometimes we just take a blind eye to that. Prophecy is being fulfilled right before our eyes. Right before our eyes. Some good statistics, though. People will run to and fro. Knowledge shall increase. We read that in Daniel 12:4. If we look at the world today? Have people traveled, run to and fro more than they ever have in this? Good grief. A short distance used to be, you know, a day's ride to see your neighbor. In a day, you can be halfway around the world now. We run to and fro. Knowledge. I got some statistics on knowledge increase. It's, let me get to that, 92. Who can deny the fast increase in knowledge? This is a sign of last days we're living in. The last time I talked, I think I talked about my grandparents who lived in the the horse and buggy days, fish on my head, and how much things have changed since my grandparents. My grandfather never learned to drive a car. He'd farmed with horses. His machinery was pulled by horses. He went to town with his horse. It was my great fun to ride that buckboard into town with him as a kid. That was really fun. Here's some statistics. Until the year 1900, human knowledge approximately doubled every century. Okay, so we're learning. However, by 1950, human knowledge doubled every 25 years. In 2000, human knowledge would double every year. Knowledge is great. That phone there, I don't even know how to work all of it. The car I drove out there, I don't know what all the buttons are yet. The great knowledge that they put into those things. But that great knowledge hasn't changed things much with our hearts. Knowledge is pretty useless without wisdom. And I think of the knowledge of destruction that we have. Some of our greatest technological achievements is in war material. The planes that are out there. My youngest child had a fascination with planes when he was a kid. He could tell you the name of every plane, its capabilities, you know, how fast it would go, the G's that it could withstand. He knew all it all. And I was thinking at the time, even our greatest technology is unbelievable knowledge in flight is all stirred by war. And these are war planes. I'm taking the F-16s, the F-18s, the 837. Fantastic machines. And if you've ever, anybody here ever go to an air show? Okay. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about. Some of the, I can remember being at one and this F-16's come by fairly low. And then he turns that up, and in seconds, he's out of sight. I used to, you know, I used to love fast cars and motorcycles, you know. The big fast motorcycle I used to have, nothing compared to something like that. Nothing. Knowledge is very great. But knowledge without wisdom, life has changed very much. Now, let's turn to some good knowledge, Bible knowledge. Bible had a slow start. Very slow. Moses was one of the first writers, and it was about 1400 BC. And then John finishes writing about A.D. 96. And the total period was about 1,500 years between those two writers, which basically is our whole Bible. That Bible was painstakingly copied, handwritten, interpreted, word at a time, until about 1440. We're talking thousands of years later. The invention by Johannes Gutenberg, a German printer, invented the printing press. Guess what? The first thing he printed, it was the Bible. And some of the statistics on since then is unbelievable. Between 1815 and 1975, it was estimated there could be at least 5 million Bibles printed. There are more than 168,000 Bibles sold or given away in the United States every day. Approximately 20 million Bibles are sold each day in the United States. The Gideon, and you've all seen the Gideon Bible, and if you've ever been in a motel, the Gideon International distributed 59,460,000 Bibles worldwide in 2016. That's more than 100 Bibles per minute. More than 2,500 languages now have the Bible in print. 2,100 different languages. In the world today, there are more than 80,000 different versions of the Bible. Estimated total sales of the Bible has topped 6 million. Two-thirds of the people refer to the Bible because it gives them a sense of of vision, and the Bible, excuse me, with all the statistics with the Bible sold, right now the biggest use of Bibles is on your phone, which is hard to estimate. Absolutely. But it says, "But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end." Read that again. "Daniel, shut up the book and seal the book until the time of the end." So it was. But now the Bible is reaching every corner of the world. And what did Jesus say about that? "When this word is preached throughout the world, then the end will come." We need to open our eyes to what's going on around us, people. Because it's happening. And we have, what's our closing song? 542. You know, I didn't follow my script very good today, did I? I'm never good at that. Yeah. Thrown off a bit. Five 522. And can we stand?